I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Kia ora, welcome to the Kiwi Birth Tales podcast and thanks for tuning in this week. I'm your host Jordan, I'm a mum of one, soon to be two boys and a lover of all things birth and a very passionate storyteller. The goal of Kiwi Birth Tales is to empower, inform, educate and connect families from New Zealand and all over the world, talking about the things that are so often kept to ourselves or shared with only our nearest and dearest because of this taboo that seems to surround sharing stories about birth. All stories deserve to be heard, no story more important than the other, and with this podcast you'll get a variety without bias. The podcast is not intended for medical advice. I'm not an advocate for any particular mode of birth or birth care, and this platform is simply here to share these beautiful, empowering Kiwi Birth Tales with you all. So I hope you enjoy. This week's episode of Kiwi Birth Tales is proudly brought to you by Your Birth Project. Your Birth Project is my online hypnobirthing course that is created for parents all around the world who want to feel empowered and confident going into their birthing experiences. It really is about creating your best birth, and I can't tell you what that looks like, nor can your midwife or your best friend. It is absolutely up to you what your best birth looks like. Your Birth Project is available online anytime and you can watch it as many times as you like, repeat whatever sections feel relevant to you within 12 months, which is really awesome. And you'll hear from Meg in this episode, who also did the course, and her and Guy did it quite early on in pregnancy and then again later towards their due date, which is such a lovely way to do it. So you get to implement the techniques throughout your pregnancy and then a refresher and reminder for your birth. So this episode is brought to you by Your Birth Project. Just super passionate about you creating your best birth, and a heads up that on the 1st of December Your Birth Project is launching an online store, which is going to be a one-stop shop for Kiwi mums to shop for anything pregnancy, birth or postpartum related, and you don't need to go to other places all the time. You can just come to the one place, find everything that you need for any period of pregnancy, birth or postpartum, and yeah, just to find products that are highly recommended by me or people that I've had on the podcast or submitted by mums on Kiwi Birth Tales or who've done the course. And yeah, I just feel really passionately about the products that the store will be stocking. So very exciting times at the moment. But yeah, so this episode brought to you by Your Birth Project and all things that that encompasses. And I'm really looking forward to jumping into this week's episode, so I promise I will stop talking soon. But just a little bit of information about what the episode's about. So I speak with Meg, and you may know her from the radio, very highly requested episode, and she hasn't really spoken about her birth too much anywhere else. So it's a really awesome episode to hear. We cover a gestational diabetes diagnosis, choosing to go with a midwife for her care, and what her pregnancy looked like, and then into her birth story, which after an epidural just turned into a really empowering and positive experience. So she talks us through that, and then a couple of complications postpartum and what life has been like being a mum so far. So I know you're going to love the episode. I promise you, I'm done talking now, so let's jump into it. Hey, Meg, thanks so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
No worries. I'm excited too. Would you like to tell the listeners a little bit about you and who is in your family?
Sure. My name is Meg. My husband's name is Guy, and I have a family of Nala and Plum, our cat and dog, and our recent baby Daisy, who was born a month ago today, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yes, a month ago today. And I work in radio on The Edge on The Breakfast Show, the Meg and Randall Show.
Yeah, awesome. Very cool. And do you want to take us through what the journey was like to pregnancy for you guys?
Yeah, we started, oh gosh, I can't even remember. What year is it now? Are we in 2021? Yes.
21, yeah.
21. So we started trying around September 2020. And the hardest thing with pregnancy for me was not knowing how long it was going to take or if I was able to get pregnant. I had all my life had this very strange feeling that I would struggle. I've talked to my mum about it for years. I've talked to therapists about it for years. And it's probably just because I'm a little bit of a control freak and I just didn't, I didn't like the idea that it just is, it felt like luck of the draw. I could have gotten pregnant within the first month. I could take years to get pregnant and I maybe wouldn't be able to get pregnant. And so we started in September 2020 and I was pregnant in, I fell pregnant in February. But 2 months of that last year, I had lost my period due to stress. So the November and December months, I didn't get a period because I had such a stressful 2020. I imagine a lot of people know what that feels like. Mm-hmm. 2020 was not a good year for many people. So we actually fell very quickly pregnant for what I've heard other averages can be, about 4 months in total of what we were trying when we when I had a period.
Yeah. Awesome. And were you tracking your cycles and stuff like that, or what were you doing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was doing everything. I think, I was really shocked and scared when I got pregnant quite quickly because I just wanted to know if I could or not. I was more curious as to how long it was going to take. And then the moment I did start, I remember the moment we had sex without any protection, I went and looked in the mirror like by myself afterwards and I thought, oh my god, I'm pregnant. Like, I just thought all my life I've been told, like, you have sex
and you're pregnant,
you know. I went to an all-girls Catholic school. That was, I mean, I've obviously had more education since then, but it's kind of built into you that it's really easy to happen. And I remember just thinking, wow, look at me, I'm already pregnant, and thinking this is what it feels like. And then it was a real shock the next month to get my period and think, okay, maybe it isn't as easy as I thought. And then I got the tracking app and I started doing the cycles, and I got quite stressed about it quite quickly. Quite involved in counting days and ovulating, and I ended up taking Vitex, it's a herbal supplement, and I took that for a month, and I don't know if it is due to it working it really well for me or coincidence, but I got pregnant that month after I started taking it. So whether that did help me or not, but I did have a bit of disruption with my period, so I imagine it helped a little.
Cool. And how did you find out that you were pregnant? Did you take a test because your period was late or have some other symptoms?
I would be, hopefully this relates to anybody else listening, but I would be taking pregnancy tests like 7 days before my period was due. I was basically keeping the pregnancy test companies afloat for those 4 months. I bought so many, and it was really hard every time, even though I knew, obviously I knew that I wouldn't have, nothing would have showed up. It's crazy how into it you can get really quickly. Yeah. And especially when I skipped 2 months of periods, and that's really hard when you're trying to get pregnant.
Yeah.
And my period missed, and I thought, oh my god, here we are. And then the test kept showing up negative, and that was just because I was stressed. But I came home and I went to the toilet and I saw a bit of blood on the toilet paper, and I thought, oh god, here we go again. And I texted the guy straight away and I said, I've got my period. And as soon as I sent that text to him, I had this really funny, like, my heart started to beat a bit quicker because I thought, I've never in my whole 30 years had my period come early. It's come late before, but this was 4 days before I was due. This was on a Wednesday and I was due to get my period on the Saturday. And it was just a little bit of blood. It was a tiny little spot. It was very light pink. It wasn't like a blood color. And something clicked in my head called implantation bleeding, where I'd read somewhere at like probably 2 a.m. in the morning when I couldn't sleep about it, that it is something about an egg sticking or, oh God, hopefully that's not really a scientific science of it, but it's something about you get a little bit of bleeding when something sticks.
Yeah.
That's not it. But so my heart started to race because I thought, that's really weird to get my period early. And then I got a pregnancy test and I took it, and no one else to this day can see the line, but I could see it. And I stood outside and I put it up to the sky, and I saw the faintest thing, and I knew it was something because every other test there was nothing at all, like you'd complete clear space, and this had the tiniest inkling, if you squinted, of a line, and I lost my mind at that point. I was about to do an interview. I was getting interviewed for a magazine called Capsule, and in about 5 minutes after I did that test, and I remember thinking it was the worst interview of my life because my head was gone, my heart was racing, and in the end, I still wasn't confirmed that I was pregnant, but in my heart, I think I knew, but I also knew that was a bit silly after a test being so pale. But I ended up getting another test. I went out that afternoon, and I got one of those ones that actually says pregnant or not pregnant, like by 4 weeks or something. And later that night, me and Guy were watching The Proposal with Ryan Reynolds, and I was sitting there itching. I was thinking, I have to wait until tomorrow, because if I was pregnant, I wanted to do like an elaborate congratulations, we're pregnant to Guy surprise. And I knew that if I found out that night on a Wednesday night before I had work at 4 a.m, there was no way I was going to be able to sleep and not tell him. But of course I couldn't wait. So in the middle of the movie, I got up, went to the bathroom, took the test. It said pregnant, and I completely lost my breath and didn't know what to do. And so I just stood and I had this big plan of how I was going to tell Guy for years. And then it ended up being me standing in what was going to be in and out is the baby's room and asking him to come and check something out for me. And he got up, and I always do things like this. I always kind of get distracted. So he wasn't catching on to anything. And he walked in, and I just said, I'm pregnant. And I was holding them test. And it was, he was very shocked because earlier that day I told him I had my period. And then it was in the middle of a movie, and it was like dinner time. There was no big surprise, and it was just out of the blue. But yeah, it was the implantation bleeding that got me. That was how I knew.
Yeah, yeah, amazing. Oh, it's so funny. Like, you just talking about telling him that you're pregnant makes me so teary-eyed. Oh, must be my postpartum hormones.
It's literally the most unromantic, uncool way of telling somebody, but I think it was just so overwhelming. And everyone that I think has had that moment of the pregnancy test being pregnant knows that insane excitement and fear. Mm. I was terrified as well. Mm. I was like, oh my God, it's happened now. Like, it's real now.
Yeah.
And the overwhelming emotions was pretty full on. It was great.
Yeah. Awesome. And how were you feeling in that first trimester? Did you end up with many pregnancy symptoms?
Yeah, I think I was quite lucky. I mean, I definitely had the nausea. I didn't have the vomiting. I had a couple of vomits throughout the whole pregnancy, but I didn't have the, I know a lot of people have it every day and every morning or every night, but I had the severe like hangover, seasickness, nausea. Mm-hmm. But due to my job, I have to get up at 4 a.m. and go to work and be like super happy and switched on, and I couldn't tell anyone on the show because as much as I love them all, they're terrible at keeping secrets, and my job is about like honesty and transparency, and I knew if I told them then somebody would let it slip, or somebody would like allude to like, why am I grumpy this morning, or why can't Megan have a shot of alcohol with us. I knew they would do something, even not being malicious, but it was getting harder and harder to hide it. I had one show one morning where I had to drink a smoothie of blended salmon and Tabasco sauce, and I had terrible nausea, and I had to just down it because I thought, if I don't do this, then they're going to think what's up and something's up. And then I eventually did have to kind of let them know that I can't do shots or anything. You can't make me do these stupid dares. I was texting my midwife being like, can I get like a wedgie, or is that gonna do something to the baby, or can I drink this salmon and Tabasco smoothie, or is that fine or not? She was so like blown away by these strange requests sending through. But nausea mostly, but I think I got quite lucky. I think it could have been worse.
Other people have. I loved the video of you telling your workmates. That was so cool.
So cute, wasn't it? God, they were so happy.
Yeah, no, that was awesome. Cool. And so you said that you had a midwife. Did you choose just to go with a midwife for your care, or did you work with an obstetrician too?
No, just a midwife. It's not just a midwife. It's, I have learned so much about how incredible these people are to our communities and us. And I had absolutely no idea how much they do, how selfless they are, and how little they get paid by the government for all the work that they give and do for us. So I had the most incredible midwife, and I'm sure everybody says that about their own, but I would never, and same guy would say the same, we would never have enough words to describe about how much she has changed our experience of pregnancy, and how if we had somebody different, I don't know what it would have been like, but we're endlessly grateful for her.
Amazing. That's so cool. And did you do the sort of standard testing in your pregnancy that's offered in New Zealand, and did you find out the sex of your baby?
We did the standard testing. I believe we did everything that that was available to us, apart from we didn't find out the sex of the baby. We didn't want to. We were very excited to have that surprise, and I'm a big surprise girl, and I have had many, many ruined in my life where I've figured it out, or I've caught on to something. So I really wanted a genuine surprise that nobody was going to know the answer. Guy didn't know, I didn't know, and my midwife didn't know. The only person that ended up finding out was the one time we had the scan and they had to check everything was okay down there. And that was one person who I later on asked, and she'd forgotten anyway. So it was really nice that nobody knew.
Yeah, awesome. Cool. And did you go to any antenatal classes or do any other type of birth education going into your labour?
Yes, I did Your Birth Project, which was fantastic. No, it really was me. I sat down and I would sit on my Swiss ball, because we did it twice, actually. We did it really early on.
Yeah.
And then we did it about 2 weeks before I went into labour as a refresher, and I was sitting on that Swiss ball just doing all my breathing and practicing, bopping around, and it was really helpful during labour as well. And I also did hatched antenatal, and I did antenatal classes as well. We wanted to be as prepared as possible. But the only bad thing with antenatal classes is that we had to do it all via Zoom because of COVID and lockdown. So I still haven't met anybody from antenatal, and they did a really good job of still teaching us with what they had, but I feel we did miss out on the hands-on, how to do a car seat, how to bathe a baby, all those things. How even doing it, I'd never changed a nappy before. I just wanted to have that hands-on feeling of it, but it was still good for what it was, for what they had to do.
Cool. And did you have like a birth plan or thoughts on how you wanted your birth to go?
No birth plan. My only plan was to go with whatever I wanted on the day. I was very open to everything and anything. If I felt I didn't need any drugs, I was fine with that. If I felt I needed all the drugs, I was also fine with that. I just wanted, I also had heard some stories from friends who had big, beautiful plans, and then unfortunately they all got changed last minute, and they found it very hard to deal with that whilst they were in labor, knowing that everything had changed all of a sudden and they couldn't do what they wanted to. So I kind of made no plan, knowing that if I didn't really have a plan, then nothing could go wrong in my head, because I was always ready for whatever was going to happen, and I was going to birth at hospital, meaning for me I could have all the drugs or no drugs. So no plan, just go with the flow, do what you need to do.
Awesome. And what about preparation for birth? Were you doing anything like antenatal expressing or perineal massage or anything like that?
I tried antenatal expressing, and I wasn't very, not good at it. I could only get the tiniest little bubbles. And I was really excited though when I saw those. That was such a moment when I went to my midwife and she said, let's see if you have any. And I got my boob out, and she squeezed my nipple. And I remember feeling super overwhelmed. I think I felt faint afterwards, seeing that something was coming out of my nipple. It was the first time I was like, oh my gosh, it's like working and it's happening, and my body's creating milk for this baby inside of me. That was incredible. But I don't think I was very good at getting it myself. We tried every night to do it, and we ended up getting truly a drop. Like when I got a drop, I was really happy about that, but it was not worth keeping. And we talked about, is it perennial or perineum?
Perennial, yeah.
Thank you. Massage. And I couldn't, I was, my belly was so big, I couldn't get down there myself. And we kept saying that we wanted my husband Guy to try it, but we also kept forgetting. I don't know if that was purposely or not, but we did want to try that and then ended up not doing any of it. So preparation, not too much. I did a lot of prep in the way of like freezing pads and things like that, but not body wise.
Cool. And with the testing that was offered, did you have any results that came back that you needed to do anything with? Or, yeah, what was the outcome there?
Yeah, I had the gestational diabetes test when everyone is meant to have it. It came back totally fine, and that was great. And then later on in the pregnancy, around, I think it was around 30 weeks, might have been even later, we did a scan, and the baby's belly was looking quite large, and I remember the scanning lady was like, oh, that's a chubby baby. So she said might be worth just getting another test, and it was very casual. And then I got another test and I was borderline, so I wasn't gestational diabetes, but I was very close to it. So we basically my midwife and I decided that we would just treat it as I had it, because it looked like I was tracking to get it. So then I did end up having to do the blood tests and the and it was my fasting one that was not out of control, but it was the one that was too high. My actual eating ones and the diet ones that you can change via diet were fine. It was the fasting one. But I did find that really hard. I found it really hard to get past, because I thought that it was my own fault. I wasn't educated about gestational diabetes. I just heard the word diabetes. I know I'm a bigger girl, and I found that really, really hard to process. My wonderful midwife sat me down for quite a few serious talks about, no, this is just something that happens. It happens to thin people. It happens to big people. It's just something that your body does.
Yeah.
And it will go after the pregnancy, which it has. So, but I did find that really hard at the start, because, and I felt quite shameful when I first had it, because I didn't know what it was, and I didn't want to talk about it with anyone, thinking that if they didn't know what it was either, they would just take one look at me being a bigger girl and think, oh, look at you not looking after yourself or the baby, when that wasn't the case at all. So I found that quite hard at the start, and then I ended up just reading up on it and giving myself a bit of a, you know, slap around and saying, no, this is just something that has happened to you, and we just had to deal with it. And in the end, it was fine. You know, she's perfectly fine. She wasn't too big in the end at all.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's so, there'll be a lot of people, including myself, who can relate to that sort of feeling about gestational diabetes. Like, I didn't end up having it, but I was really worried, because I knew I was overweight going into my pregnancy. I was worried I was going to get it, and then I spoke with my midwife about it, and she said, no, that's actually got nothing to do
with
it. And I remember, actually, back to a podcast episode where I had a lady who used to run, I can't remember if it was triathlons or marathons, but she was super, super, super fit, and she had gestational diabetes. And that was probably like a good reminder for me that anybody can get it. And yeah, I think it's important to talk about that.
Yeah, your podcast really helped me through that, actually, because I went back and listened to all the ones I could find about gestational diabetes to normalize it within myself, because I also had a friend and who I ended up talking to quite a bit about it, who is a lot smaller than me, very petite person naturally, and she had it, and I just needed to just tell myself that. And but yeah, it is, there was a lot of judgment on myself from myself first.
Yeah, no, I can relate and understand that, but it's nice that you had a midwife as well who was helpful.
Really, really, really drummed it into me.
Really,
which was what I needed.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. And do you want to take us through your labor starting? Was it spontaneous, and how far along were you? And then, yeah, into your birth story from there. I'm excited.
So I was prepped for an induction, or Todd was getting an induction at 39 plus 4 or 5 days. I don't know which one, but 39 plus 4 or 5, because of my gestational diabetes, and because the baby was looking to be quite large. And then the Saturday morning before I was meant to be going in on the Wednesday to have an induction. I woke up and I thought, I've wet myself a little, which wasn't surprising because that was one of my big side effects with pregnancy. I was weaning all the time.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was possible. I had definitely had pregnancy insomnia. I was up about 7 or 8 times a night to go to the bathroom. And so I wasn't surprised that one morning I woke up and I was like, oh, my undies are a bit wet. Cool. This is another low point of your life, Megan. So I went back to bed. And that's how grotty I am. I went back. I was like, it's okay. It was just it was just damp. And then I woke up like 20 minutes later and I was like, okay, something else is happening here maybe. And I got out of bed and it was my husband's first day off because he was taking some leave knowing I was going to have an induction. And I promised him the night before that I'd let him sleep until 8 in the morning because I had pregnancy insomnia. I was up at all hours. And it was I remember very clearly, it was 7:47 a.m. I thought, oh, do I wait or should I? I was like, it's close enough. And so I woke him up and I said, I think my waters are broken. And that made him wake up very quickly. And I started to shake because it felt very real then, because I knew that your waters didn't have to just gush out like they do in the movies. And by this point, when I'd gotten out of bed, because we were sleeping in separate rooms by this point in the pregnancy as well, it was definitely dropping down my leg. And I thought, okay, I don't have control of that. That's not me weaning myself. That is definitely some sort of waters breaking. And I was so excited. I always wanted my waters to break. And that was my big thing that I felt like I was going to miss out on with the induction. So we'd got water balloons. We'd planned to like pop them between my legs the morning of, just so I could have that moment before we went and tried to give birth. But my waters is broke, and I told my midwife, and we ended up having a very normal day. We did a lot of house cleaning because I knew that waters breaking didn't mean I was going into labor straight away. So we did a lot of house cleaning. We ended up having a really nice dinner that night. And the plan was, if I went into established labor that night, then to go to hospital. If I went into any sort of like kind of starting labor, to stay at home and then call my midwife at 7 a.m. And if nothing had happened, then to go to hospital in the morning and basically have the induction started there, because it would have been 24 hours since my waters broke. Which is what ended up happening. I thought I was having contractions throughout the night, and I laugh about that now because that was not a contraction whatever I was feeling. I was like, look at me handling this so well. No, not at all. And I like did my makeup in the morning and I washed my hair and off we went to hospital. And I'm so embarrassed. I went to tell the nurses, like, oh, hi, I'm in labor, and I'm just like handling it so well. And I remember one nurse saying, you're not in labor, love. Like, bless her, because she must have just laughed taking one look at me thinking I was doing such a good job.
Yeah. But
no, I was definitely not in labor at that point. I was having small, like very mild period pains, basically some rumblings. And so then we went into the hospital room and we were going to get started on misoprostol, which is a tiny little bit of medicine to get my induction started. And I was a bit nervous about that. Every story I'd heard about inductions of misoprostol, people had taken like 2 days to give birth, or like taken 8 shots of it and then had to go and stay in hospital overnight and start again the next morning. So I was well ready for a good couple of days of trying to get this labor started, but it started straight away with me. I took one shot and at about, I think, 9 a.m. and I was like, okay, things are starting to ramp up, but I was still laughing about it. I was still like, thinking I was super in control. Then I took the second shot and that's when, that's when they started really starting. That's when I was like, oh, this is what a contraction is. And that's when I really pulled on your course. I sat on my Swiss ball and I put on my headphones and listened to some like upbeat music, and I did my breathing. I put on a cleanse machine, and my husband was a fantastic support person to me at that point. He basically just sat for 2.5 hours opposite me while I went through it, and I locked into my headspace, and I was in such a good headspace. I was so proud of myself, and it was really painful, but I was breathing and I was going through it. And unfortunately, when I got checked after 2.5 hours of what was, for me, really hard work, it was hard. And I had contractions My contractions about 45 seconds to a minute long, and they were every 3 to 4 minutes for 2.5 hours, and that was a lot for me. And I'm sure it's a lot for everyone, but you know, I don't know if I have a low pain threshold, but that was 2.5 hours of really hard work. And then a nurse came in and checked me, and I was 2 centimeters, and I really lost it at that point. My mental wall went down. I was absolutely gutted, completely broken by that point of what I felt like was an exhausting morning and afternoon to only be 2 centimeters. And I was basically 2 centimeters the week before. I had a stretch and sweep, and I was well and truly ready to go into birth. So I felt like I had made no progress at all. I was fully effaced, I think that's the word, but only 2 centimeters. And I asked the nurse about pain relief at that point. And there was a little bit of a miscommunication, I think, because she said, you can't have an epidural until you're about 5 centimeters. And in my head, I was just thinking any pain relief, because I'd had nothing at this point. I remember from your course and other courses, people were spoken about other.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Pain reliefs, I heard something about a gas and all these other things that I thought were available to me. And she just said no to an epidural until I was 5 centimeters. And I found it very, very hard to come back from that, because I felt like I wasn't able to do it. I knew I had to do 3 more centimeters before any sort of pain relief whatsoever. She said I should go and take a shower and use it as a distraction. And I thought, I won't swear, but I at that point was like, are you actually serious? Like, I just got through 2.5 hours of what felt like the worst pain of my life, and you've told me to have a shower. Yeah. I had lost it, and I started throwing up on every contraction from that point. That could have also been like a mental thing where I became quite scared, but also the pain was really extreme for me then, and I started, I think, moving quite fast then through. I didn't take any more misopropyl, and my husband, bless him, got in touch with Katie, our midwife, and said, look, Megan needs help. And she said, does she need me? Because normally I think they only come when established labour is happened, and I wasn't there yet, but she said I'll come because she's very amazing. And she ordered me an epidural. She got somebody to come up, and I'd found out I'd been put into a natural room. And it was not something I'd wanted. It was just the only room available. But that's where I think there might have been a miscommunication, because I don't know if they thought that's what I wanted, but I definitely didn't. I wanted the gas. And I heard somebody say gas. I was really excited to try it. And I heard somebody was coming up with an epidural. And from that moment, I was able to regain myself again, because I knew that something was coming to help me. And I got in the gas, and that was great. It didn't help with the pain, but it definitely put me to a different place. I don't know how to quite describe that, but it definitely helped me. And then I got the epidural put in, and basically my birth from then on out was heaven. I really, really enjoyed it. And I know that so many incredible people give birth without any pain relief or drugs. I'm just not one of them, and I needed the help. And then it was honestly the most amazing experience from there on out. It was incredible.
Yeah, amazing. So did they check you before putting in the epidural?
They didn't check. I think they checked right afterwards. I am a bit blurry on those details, yeah. But I know that my midwife said you're 3 or 4 centimeters now. So it happened really quickly from then. And that was at about 5 o'clock at night when I got the epidural put in. And then I ended up giving birth 5 hours later.
Oh, so wow.
I think it was quite quick in the end.
Yeah. And could you move at all with the epidural in?
Upper body, yes. There was a little mistake. I don't know if that's the right word. I don't want to be wrong to the person who did it, but they hit the slightly wrong spot. They ended up having a spinal tap, not an epidural, which is what they do for C-section. So I was really numb. Yeah. I was really, really numb. And I wasn't mad about that, to be fair. I was like, okay, whoops, too much. And so I couldn't move my legs at all. It did wear off and we had some problems getting it back, but I ended up, thankfully, having the pain relief was there when I actually had to push, because I was worried it was going to wear off right before I had to. But no, it ended up being really good. But I did have a very strange feeling when I could see my husband and my midwife lifting my legs up for me to put them in the stirrups. And yes. I couldn't feel a thing. And I felt quite queasy with that. That made me feel quite ill. And even though I never had the sharp pain of going through the transitional period, which was the part I was most scared of with birth, I threw up when that happened. So I think my body knew it was happening anyway, even though... I didn't per se feel it happening. My body started to shake. I had uncontrollable shakes at that point and throwing up. So I knew something was changing when I got down to pushing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so crazy, isn't it? That your body still goes through that transitional phase, even if you like can't consciously sort of feel the change. I think it's like the pressure and the hormones that it sends around your body. You know,
it was so overwhelming. I knew that that's what was happening and the shakes were uncontrollable. I was really really shaking and that lasted quite a while. That was that lasted quite a while with me, where I wouldn't have been able to hold a cup of water. It was really bad shakes, and I lost feeling a bit of my fingers. I think the spinal tap went a little high. And so I had really, really, really cold hands and fingers and feet, but they just got me some hot water bottles and warmed me up. The transitional period was really intense, even with an epidural.
And so did Katie tell you when it was time to push, or what sort of happened from there?
I mean, I had the most amazing room set up, and by that point we had like all the lights turned off apart from like little fake tea lights and fairy lights. We had low music playing, and I think I took a nap at one point. It was amazing. And then I could feel something was changing and happening. And she said, "You're moving really fast through this." Earlier on, she said, "I think we'll have a baby maybe by midnight." And then as it just kept happening faster and faster, she was like, "Right, we're ready to go." At 10 o'clock, I was told to start pushing, 10 o'clock at night. And I was warned that first pregnancies, and also I think with the epidural it can take quite a while to push, a couple of hours I was told to prepare for. But that was when my superwoman kind of came in. I felt really, really powerful, even though I had the epidural and the pain wasn't there. I could still definitely feel things were happening, but the pushing was like my time that I really found myself again. I was hyper focused in on it, and ended up giving birth 27 minutes later. So that was an amazing quick birth. Somebody that couldn't really feel where to push or what to do. That was my best moment. That was like the euphoria that I hear other people talking about with birth, is that pushing was my moment. And I really enjoyed that part. Again, I had drugs, and people would be like, "Like you didn't feel anything." But yeah, you still do. You still know something's happening down there.
It's like I can definitely relate to that. Like, I think for me, I describe it as like a pressure kind of feeling. Like, I wasn't in pain, but it was enough pressure to be like, this feels painful.
Exactly that, right? But it wasn't pain, but I knew it was like, well, I know there's a head there. I know there's something happening.
And so did you have a plan that Katie would put your baby up onto your chest, or was Guy going to do that? What was your plan with that?
No, the plan was, because we became so close to Katie, as I said before, she was just such an incredible part of our pregnancy and birth. And we also had birthing mama, Alicia, her midwifery student, with her as well. So it was just the four of us, and she's fantastic as well. We asked Katie to tell us who we had, basically. So we told her the two names that we had for either a boy or a girl, and we wanted to find out if it was a boy or a girl by her saying the name.
Amazing.
So she I gave birth to Daisy, and she said, "Here's Daisy," and then she put her on my chest, and that's how we found out the sex as well at the same time. Guy did like go down and what he didn't know if he wanted to beforehand watch or be involved, but he did, and he was so amazing. He was just fascinated by it all, a big smile on his face the whole time. So it was fantastic. And then he did ended up cutting the cord, and that moment was just obviously really incredible and overwhelming. And I remember being shocked at how warm she was. That was the thing that got me the most, is like how hot she was, and she was really purple when she came out. And I was so worried. I just kept saying, what's wrong? What's wrong? But everyone kept saying she's perfectly fine. And she was. She just did one little cry, and then she was quiet afterwards. And I think that's why I thought something was wrong. She wasn't loud. She was just chilling straight away.
Yeah.
Very calm. So I was, it was an amazing moment.
Yeah. Beautiful. Very cool. And did you need any stitches or anything like that from your birth?
Yeah, I had just a second, only just heading over to that second degree tear.
Yeah.
It was a very small tear, and it was because her little hand came up right at the last minute by her head. So I would have been fine if it wasn't for that little hand. But I got the stitches, and that was totally fine again. I was numbed up, and I've actually had no problems with them since. I didn't even really have pain with them afterwards. Oh, I don't know if that's tribute to Katie's good work. I think I was expecting the worst. I was so worried about tearing, and I remember when I was pushing, I was holding back a bit, and I said that to Katie when I was pushing. I said, I'm holding back because I'm scared I'm going to tear, and she said, you just need to commit. So I was like, okay, and that's when I started properly pushing. But the tear, it really wasn't that bad. That was one of my biggest fears, but it's been fine. It's healed up fine.
I think it's such a normal fear, right? The thought of your vagina tearing is just like the worst thing that you can possibly think of.
Terrified of birth as well. Absolutely mortified. So scared of labor and birth beforehand. Yeah. And so if anybody else is experiencing that and scared of birth, it's really fine. It was, I had a tear and I didn't even, it was actually just no big deal. Yeah. I just used a Perry wash bottle to instead of wiping, and it's healed. It's all good. There's no trouble.
Yeah, amazing. Cool. And how long did you end up staying in hospital for after you gave birth?
I wanted to only stay one day, and then wanted to make my way up to Warkworth Birth Centre. I'd heard amazing things. Unfortunately, I did have a complication with the epidural. As you know, it did turn into a spinal tap accidentally, and I ended up getting a spinal tap headache, which has a fancier, I think it's called PBP something, but I had a spinal tap headache, and which meant I couldn't sit up at all. I had to be lying down the whole time, extreme nausea, extreme headache, and shakes. And the only way, it either goes away by itself eventually, but I had to get a blood patch, which is where I had to get taken down into a surgery room, and they had to take bloods out of my arm and then put it back into my spine, so I had to get another like lumbar puncture or epidural sort of injection and get my own blood put back into my spine to fix it, which was a really crap experience. But it was made incredible by the staff there. Actually, I don't know if anybody knows her, but Morgan Edwards, she has a Instagram page, Dr. Morgan Edwards. She was the person that did it, so I was so excited. Cool. I like totally fangirled over seeing her, and I was like, oh my gosh, you're doing it. And she and the other nurses were absolutely, they made me get a bit teary. They were incredible. They treated me almost like a 5-year-old, and I mean that in the best way. They treated me with sensitivity and care and empathy, even though I was this grown ass woman bawling her eyes out. I felt like a little kid being looked after. It was just me. It was so brave.
That's so funny you say that about Morgan. I was like high on my gas and my labor, and I asked my anaesthetist, did he know her?
Really?
And he was like, no. And I was like, oh, you have to follow her on Instagram. He's like, I don't have Instagram. I was like, oh, perfect.
Oh my gosh. So funny. I was so excited. I think she's amazing. So that was really cool. That was a bonus.
Awesome. And did it make the headache go away?
Instantly went away. So if anybody, again, has that experience and finds out they do get the rare side effect of the headache after getting an epidural, it goes away straight after the blood patch. That was amazing for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. And so did you head home not too long after that, or how long did you have to stick around?
I had to stay one more night, and that was a big blow. I was really upset because I had a we know how hard it is to get into kind of birth care afterwards, and we knew it was a really busy time, and they had a bed for me, and then I had to stay another night in hospital, so I lost that room.
Oh, damn.
That was my hormones, and also just me being really upset about that. I had a big cry about that, but yeah. I ended up getting a room the next day and went to Warkworth Birth Centre, which again was the most incredible experience. I can't believe that this is even like available to people, and it should be available to every single person if they want it. I hadn't heard of birth centres at all. I'm from Wellington. I don't think they have them there in the same way that they have them up in Auckland. I think they've got private birth centres, but in Auckland, I had a friend tell me, go to birth care afterwards. And I thought, what's that? And I was very, very excited. And they looked after me and Guy and everyone else there, obviously, so incredibly well. To have a place that Guy and I can both sleep in the same bed together whilst not being at home, because of course the hospital, he was sleeping in a chair, and then having access to nurses 24/7 to help us with formula or feedings or asking questions. Plus they fed me, the food was beautiful. I can't talk enough how incredible those people were that looked after us, and how incredible that whole system is, and how we didn't have to pay for it. I go to birth care if you have access to it. It was so great for us.
Yeah, awesome. Cool. And how did you feel, like, obviously your whole life has just changed now that you've got this little human, right? So how did you feel after you left birth care and you took Daisy home and your parents and you've got your little baby in your own space? And, yeah, what was that like?
It's been so much more different than I thought it was going to be. I was really scared, and this is, I guess, quite vulnerable to admit, but I was really scared to become a mum. I was really worried I wasn't going to like it, and that's a really horrible thing to say now that I know that I have Daisy.
Yeah.
But it just felt so permanent, and I don't know many changes in people's lives that you have to take that it's super permanent. You buy a house, you can sell a house. I mean, you get married, in theory, you can get divorced, you know, but this felt like what, Megan, there is no going back. This is the rest of your life down a totally different path. And I knew it was going to be good, but I also was just thinking, what if I'm no good at being a mum? What if I'm actually too selfish? What if I don't like getting up 15,000 times in the night and being tired all the time and having sore boobs and all the other things that I knew came with being a mother? I think I think it's fantastic how people have been so open about how hard motherhood can be, but for me it scared me, and it's so good to know now that I'm in it that there's other people that are also you know, that it can be a struggle. But beforehand I was like, that doesn't sound fun. I was desperate for some like fun nice stories about becoming a mum, and all I could seem to find is like how tired people were and how hard it was and how you can lose connections with your partners and how to get that connection back. And I was really scared, and so I was so pleased to realize how, one, in love with Daisy I was, two, how I still felt like myself afterwards. I still feel like me. I've just got a baby, and I thought it was going to be this totally different Megan and this totally big change, and it is, but it is in a better way. I feel much more, I tried to word it in an Instagram post the other day, but it's like this weird switch in my head where I just feel more at peace with who I am now, or more confident with who I am. It's hard to put into words. I feel like the same person, but I also feel completely different, but it's in a good way. And even though I'm tired, I actually sleep better than when I did when I was pregnant, because when I was pregnant, I was up all the time, whereas now it's just up once or twice a night. She's just, you know the feeling too, she's just the coolest, and I just kind of can't believe that she's my little friend, and I think she's way cooler than me already. And I was so scared beforehand of how it was going to change for the worse, when I didn't realize how good it was going to be for changing for the better.
Yeah, that's so nice to hear. I think it's so funny, like, I think my sons are just going to be cooler than me, like, for the rest of my life now.
I just take one look at her, and she's like 30 days old, and I just know that she knows more than me. I know she's going to put me in my place at some point when she's a teenager. And yeah, I just think she's absolutely the coolest person I know, which is a really strange thing to describe about this tiny, tiny little human that I just instantly feel kind of like ready to learn from her.
Yeah,
I'm so ready for her to tell me what life is like when she's older.
Yeah, awesome. I think that's so cool. And have you, what's your breastfeeding experience been like?
I actually don't think I've ever spoken openly about this, but I had a breast reduction years and years and years ago.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever told anybody that. But it was something from a kind of different life of mine. It was, I think I was 19 or 20 years old, so it feels like a lifetime away, and it was over 10 years ago, but I have known from then that it was probably going to be very difficult for me to breastfeed. And that I was going to have a hard journey, so I'd been very open to formula and bottle feeding from there. But I have been able to breastfeed. I just have a low supply, which is, it's been nice to have anything. And that's been fun. I have to use nipple shields at all times. I haven't been able to get rid of those yet, and I don't think I need to anyway. But I have nipple shields, and she latches great, and I just do top ups with formula, and we're happy with that anyway. But we were very open to knowing that we were going to have to use formula because of my breast reduction. So from the get go, we haven't put too much pressure on me. So it's any breast milk has been great, and it's been nice to be able to do that with her. But she would not, I don't think, be able to be thriving without the help of formula.
No, that's awesome. And I think it's nice to hear an experience where you know, you're using nipple shields and you're doing top-ups, and I'm exactly the same as you. I have done both of those things with Ali, but just, it just is, you know, my baby's healthy and happy and fed, and just, you know, whatever goes. So I think that's really, it's really nice to hear.
Yeah, I was really stressed about the pressure of breastfeeding, but I think because I knew I probably couldn't, it was quite good for me in the way that it was less pressure, because I was like, well, it's most likely not going to be able to happen. It's been better than I thought it was going to be. It was really painful at the start. Oh my gosh. Holy hell. And I've got Raynaud's of the nipples, which means, have you heard about that before?
Yeah,
that's awful as well. Yeah. So any sort of cold air that gets onto them, like I lose all the blood to my nipples and they go white, and it's extremely painful. So the nipple shields have really helped with that. And it's just so nice relaxing myself a little bit with knowing that she needs formula. It's all good. She's totally healthy and putting on weight perfectly. And the breast milk, any of it is a real bonus for me.
Awesome. That's so cool. And how has Guy gone with the adjustment to dad life, and what's your sort of relationship been like over the last 4 weeks, and how have you found those sort of changes?
It's been we were really nervous about that. We are huge communicators, and we had big chats beforehand, being worried about losing our relationship and ourselves with the baby, because we have always put each other as number one over the past 9 years of our relationship. So we knew that was going to change really drastically. But it's been, again, another thing that I thought I was ready for the worst, and it's been great, and it's only 4 weeks, so ask me in a few months. But it's been really good, and he's really, really hands-on. And because, of course, we had to do formula from day dot because of my boobs, he's been really involved with feeds, and connecting and helping as much as he can with her. It's felt very 50-50, because we have access and we use a bottle and formula. It's been really 50-50. At the moment, he's gone back to work, so I'm doing the overnights by myself. This week is my first week. So yay me, I've survived. Thank you. But then I have to go back to work quite early. I'm going back to work in March, which is only 4 months off for me, which is really scary. But then Guy's taking 2 months off, and he's been stay-at-home dad after that. So I'm really happy that he gets that experience, and he gets to kind of do that. And also it will help me going to work knowing that he's there. And then if anybody knows a really great nanny who wants to get up at 4:30 and look after our baby from like May next year, call me, please. Because I don't know anyone that's going to want to come and do those hours, but we'll find someone, I'm sure.
Yeah. I think it's so nice to have your partner be able to do, if it works for your family, like it sounds like it's going to for you, to have that time at home
right
with your baby. But yeah. Joe was the same, and he has a totally different perspective on being a parent because he has done the stay at home side as well.
Great. I didn't know he did that. That's awesome.
It just makes the world of difference in my opinion.
Yeah, and that's what I'm hoping to as well. I'm hoping that it for both of us to go through. I mean, I think he gets the easier time, to be fair. He gets it from, like, 4 months.
That's so fun then.
she's just waking up. Good girl. Stay asleep. I'm really excited for him because if you can do it, like, what an experience for, partners to be able to stay at home and get that time with them. I'm really excited for him. I think he's actually going to love it, and I think he's going to want to take the pram out or the front pack and go out with the girls and have a coffee date, and I think he's going to really thrive.
So cute.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. And is there anything else that you wanted to share, Meg, in terms of any of your journey that we haven't covered?
I think we've covered so much. Have fun editing this. Sorry, I'm such a talker. But,
oh my god, editing from my side with my screaming baby.
I mean, the only thing that I can shout out is my midwife and how incredible Katie Hawkey was, and how important having a fantastic midwife was to me in my journey. Because I was a plus size person, I was really nervous about, oh my god, now my dog's going in the background. I was really nervous about judgment with that, and she very much so did not give me any judgment on my weight. I had a totally normal pregnancy. I had a totally normal birth. My weight didn't come into it, at all in the end. And I just wanted to say that because I've had so many women reach out to me since I got pregnant, being bigger and being really, really nervous to go through it and be nervous about, what if I can't have a normal pregnancy or birth, which, I mean, it was just my personal experience, but I had a very normal birth and journey. So, shout out to my midwife, who is incredible, and also shout out to anyone that is scared of going through labor like I was. Absolutely petrified of it. In the end, I loved it. Absolutely loved it, and it was the most incredible experience. So do the course, your birth project. Shout out to that as well, because that really helped with my breathing and techniques. But it was just such an incredible journey in the end, and I was just terrified of all of it, and I wish I could tell that person back there to enjoy it, because there was so much to enjoy rather than be scared about.
Yeah, so normal though, I think. Lots of people will relate. Well, thank you so much, Meg, for coming on the podcast and putting up with my my child. Yours was an angel.
Oh my god, I was sitting here sweating so much because I just don't dare move because she's about to go off any second.
No, but I so appreciate you joining me, and I know that there's lots of people out there who are really interested in hearing your story. So just super grateful that you took the time. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode of Kiwi Birth Tales. I hope you have enjoyed it, and I really look forward to bringing you another awesome episode next week. I'd love to see your feedback. If you want to leave me a review, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, I would really appreciate it. It helps other people find the podcast. Otherwise, I'd love for you to share it with your friends and family, anyone you know who might be pregnant or thinking about getting pregnant, or just enjoy listening to birth stories. And I will be bringing you another awesome episode next week. So I will speak to you then.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.